The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of March 2022. I'm Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have, of course, on the right there on the controls, ready to hit the buttons when needed. We have the mighty, mighty Andrew.
Who, me?
That's you.
Oh, okay.
And way out yonder, right in the dusty trails, we have none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
Yes, your highly unpaid lobbyist for the Lord and associate is here ready to go to work.
And our special guest tonight from Ahava Ministries is Dr. Al Reitman. Are you there, Al?
I'm here.
All right, you guys ready to roll?
Ready.
Okay. We're going to pick it up where we left off, Al, with our Bible study. And Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
The title, A Heartbeat Away from Hell.
And so we're going to pick it up where we left off. And Al, you have a question or comment, just jump right in. And okay. So, well, here, like in the days of Noah, men's hearts are wicked continuously. So in Matthew 20:24 tells us that the deception will be so great that if it were possible that even the very elect, meaning those very mature believers with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, would be deceived. And so here today, this nation that we're living in was founded by people who had a very, very sincere desire to have the freedom to worship and serve God in accordance with their sincerely held religious beliefs. Today, and it was just interesting, I was just listening to another pastor today who was talking about how Dr. Jeremiah, hey, you know what? Us Christians aren't liked very much today. And, yeah, it's getting more and more of an antichrist hatred towards Christians today. And so, but that's exactly what Scripture said it would be like. We're right there. As the saying goes, things aren't falling apart. They're falling right into place. So, here again, the world hates us, and because we are called by his name. And so we're going to go over to James chapter 4 and verse 4, and Pastor Joe, would you read James 4 and 4?
Sure. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Now, he's talking, when he's talking about adulterers and adulteresses, who's he speaking to there, Joe? Professing believers.
Yeah, the believers of the day.
Right. So now, when he's talking about adulterers and adulteresses, Is he referring to that in the spiritual type of realm, or is he talking about the physical, or is he actually addressing both?
I mean, think he's addressing both, because often one leads to the other, and they're combined.
Well, you'd be absolutely right in there. So now here, I was watching the other day on Fox News, and here you had two lesbians. Now, you had these people that were anchors, and these anchors are professing Christians, talking about writing books about how women in the Bible and referring to their Bible studies on a regular basis, this and that. Here, talking that they're out there professing Christians, and what they were doing, you had two lesbians on the program who adopted a baby. And they were congratulating these two lesbians for adopting a baby, and thought it's a wonderful thing now that you can do that. Lesbians can do that. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, God wanted children to have a family, a father and a mother, who were two together to make one, the two become one, and you can't have two of the same become, you know, it doesn't work. It goes against God's plan.
Okay, so what do you think, Dr. Reichman? Do you think there's a problem there?
Well, the scriptures are very clear. God created male and female, Adam and Eve. And I know they hate to hear it like this, but God did not create Adam, Eve, and Steve and tell Adam he could take his pet.
Okay, so now, so you had Adam and Eve. So Adam obviously is a man. Now, one of the questions asked by Senator Blackburn to Ketanji Brown or whatever was, can you give me a definition of a woman? Can you tell me what a woman is? And she said no. And so here, the AMA has recently come out and said they're no longer going to be putting on birth certificates the gender, because there is no absolute proof that there are two genders. And, well, you know, then here all of this time, I guess.
Hey, that's what 7 years at Harvard gets you. For all that money and 7 years of education, at 56 years old, you don't know what a woman is. I asked several women that tonight at Bible study, and they all knew what a woman was. They could all define it. And not one of them had been to Yale, Harvard, or anything like that.
Okay, well then, Joe, you tell us, what is a woman?
A woman is the part of a man that God created, is the part that when God took the rib out of man, he made a partner for woman to be his partner, to be his helpmate, to be the bearer of the children, to be the man, the man and the woman cleave to each other. They're two separate entities, and the purpose then is to produce children, which are a blessing, a gift from God.
So he took Adam's rib a long time ago?
Long, long time ago, and used it to, because he didn't want the woman to be above the man or below the man, but to be stand beside the man, to be his helpmate, his life partner, and the two would join together in marriage, and the blessing of that marriage would be their children.
Image of God. So then basically, if you shorten that up, a woman's kind of just like an old bone?
You have to go home and face your wife tonight.
She's not listening tonight, or I wouldn't be saying that. Although she might hear it on the repeat tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, she'll probably hear it.
All righty. Okay, so then, so all you have to say then, a male is just the opposite of all of what you just said. All right, let's do it this way. Can we say that a woman was made in the image of man, and the male and the female were made in the image of God, right?
God,
I mean,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And so
they were both made in the image of God, yes.
And so, so that we pretty much know what men and women are. I mean, we. Now, did God make any transgenders? I mean, I missed that part.
No, there was nothing in there about trans people, about, you know, anything like that. Transsexuals playing around. He made two sexes, male and female. He did it throughout his creation.
Okay.
In fact, he took the animals to the ark. Remember, he took them, well, two by two, some in pairs of sevens, but he took male and female. And all through Scripture, it is male and female.
All right, so... Dr. Reichman, do you have anything to add to that? I mean, do you have a definition of what is a man or what is a woman?
You know, in my years, I just, up until recently, like you made clear, there never has been a need to have to define it. Man has certain physical traits that a woman does not. A woman has certain physical traits that a man does not. And it's very simple physiology. If a man has the certain organs, that's a man. If the baby lacks that organ, that baby's a girl. And it's just physiology dictates that.
Okay, so when I was in second grade, if you were to ask me, and I know this for a fact, can you tell me who's the boys and who are the girls? Point out the boys and point out the girls. And I could have done that. I could have pointed out every in that room, every boy and every girl, okay, probably the entire school. So does that mean that when I was in second grade, I actually knew more than those in the AMA?
I think so.
Well, you had more common sense, maybe.
Yes, more common sense.
Okay, so, but I wasn't woke. See, because see, this woke thing is where all of this absolute foolishness is coming from. It's unbelievable. So now here, when we take a look at that, here, when we are looking at what we were talking about, James 4:4, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So today we see Satan's children practicing abortion, which is murder, sodomy, lying, stealing, killing, bestiality, adultery, fornication, idolatry, hypocrisy, prostitution, false witnessing, cannibalism, corrupt politicians, corrupt judges, dirty cops, lying fake news media, Hollywood whores, transgenders. So here, we often said, I've often said, if the Democrats are today, the Democratic Party, if they could invent a new sin, it would be in their platform tomorrow. Well, here I had heard, Joe, let me ask you this to see if you know what this is. Do you know what cuckolding is, Joe?
Yes, unfortunately I do.
Well, wait a minute. Let's see if Al knows. Al, do you know what cuckolding is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because
find it on the radio, though. Yeah. So you go ahead and try.
Well, you know, I've done a lot of research over the years. As you know, we have six people that do researching, and up until just recently, I had never heard of such a thing. Okay. And so here now, in fact, that word's not in most of your dictionaries. You won't find that. So no. This is something that they've come up with here. This new thing that's called cuckolding, okay, and
oh, it's probably been around for a long time, but it's just a very small section of the world's population ever messed around with that kind of sin.
Well, I thought I'd heard about most of it, but that was a new one. And well, let me just say this. I asked the folks in the church, I asked, how many people in here know what that word is? Only one person in the entire congregation had ever heard of it. So maybe...
That should be refreshing.
Yeah, that's good. And so anyhow, for you folks out there listening, it's basically when you have effeminate males or husbands, effeminate husbands who like to watch or they fantasize about having their own wives having sex with other men. This is something that's new out there. And this other thing that they're calling today, and this is the type of stuff that it goes on programs like that View or, what is it, Oprah or some of these. These are the things that in the last days we're seeing, with technology and things, new types of sins against God. But anyhow, you have the other things that they're doing now, what they're calling is they have, well, of course, it's open marriages. Now, I know that's another term that is fairly new. I don't think I heard of an open marriage 10 years or 20 years ago. What about you two men?
Oh, yeah. Open marriage started being flaunted in the 60s.
Right.
Okay.
Really.
All right.
If you study cultural Marxism and you go into that, you'll see with that Eros and Civilization book, all that kind of thing was there with the pleasure principle. It's been around since the 60s.
Well, they had these three women there on that program on the internet. They were interviewing them, and they were what you call hot wives. So, the woman that interviewed said, "Well, how would you identify yourself?" And the first one says, "I'm a hot wife." The second one said, "Freedom, sexuality without boundaries." And the third one said, we're whores. So she was the only honest one. Yeah, the whole bunch. Okay. Now, all of what I just mentioned, and if you add to that today something that's becoming way, way too prevalent, and that's child sacrifice, unfortunately, out there today. It's with the human trafficking, which is becoming a real problem, too. Right here in Ohio, where I'm at, it's a huge problem, and the drug addiction here in Ohio is really gotten bad. You know, this is one of the leading states where those new drugs that they're using out there is really really gotten bad. And so, what do we call it? The name for the death by drugs, but by the
euthanasia.
It's called. Well, no, it's pharmakia. Well, euthanasia is.
What you're saying.
Pharmakia and pharmakia, that is means witchcraft. That's where you get the word pharmacy from. It's witchcraft or wizardry. Okay, and here, what is that? Fentanyl. Fentanyl is what I was trying to think of. Here in Ohio, there's it's a huge, huge problem. And it's killing people. And see, so these are all signs, end time signs. When all of these things we're seeing, we know that we're getting closer and closer to the Lord's return. And so we'll stop there for tonight, and I'll pick it up tomorrow over in Psalm 9. But let's move over to Dr. Reitman. Tell us about Ha-Hava Ministries, and you're coming our way on Sunday. You're going to be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry at 6 p.m. And so, and you're going to be in where, Lorraine, I think?
Yeah, I'm going to be in a couple of, I'll be in, let me get it out here. I'll be in Lorraine Sunday morning, your place Sunday night. Monday night, I'm in Ravenna.
Ravenna. Mm-hmm.
Ravenna. And Wednesday night, I'm in St. Clairsville.
Okay. All right. So, all right, then. And tell us what you're going to be doing here. And first of all, tell us about a little bit about ministries, and then it's obviously ministry to the Jewish people. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so...
Since you corrected me on the name of the town, it's Ahava. And that's the Hebrew word, which means love. So it's Love Messiah Ministries. And our task is to take the love of Messiah to Jewish people.
Okay.
And so I am Jewish by birth and come from an Orthodox background and a long line of Orthodox and Hasidic rabbis. So I will be doing what we call Christ in the Passover for your church. And I set the table up for Passover, and I go through all the aspects of the Passover feast, and I show you Jesus from his virgin birth to his death, burial, resurrection, his second coming, millennial kingdom reign. I show you where Jesus lifts from that table and gave us what we know to be the Lord's Supper. So it has it covers all the bases, and it has a very powerful impact on Jewish people. So it's a powerful witness to Jewish people.
Okay, very good. And you will be there again at 6 p.m. at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And do you want to give, do you have the addresses where you want where you can give where you'll be in the morning and also on Monday?
Okay, let me see if I can get that out here. Okay, Sunday morning is at Grace Baptist Church, 719 Root Road, Lorain, Ohio. And that's 10 and 11 o'clock. And I'll be doing in the 10 o'clock hour a question and answer. I focus it on Israel, the Middle East situation, prophecy, witnessing to Jewish people, this sort of thing. And then Monday night, I will be at New Testament Baptist Church, 3583 State Road 59, and you said Ravenna, right?
Uh-huh, Ravenna.
Okay, Ohio. And I believe I'll be doing a message there that I call the Forgotten Mission Field. And then Wednesday night, oh, by the way, let's see, that starts at 7 p.m. Wednesday night, I'll be at Victory Baptist Church, 67300 Willow Grove Road, St. Clairsville, and I'm doing a Christ in the Passover there as well, and they start at 7 p.m.
All right, very good. We'll announce those again before we go off the air tonight, and they're going to be replayed as we're replayed on a number of stations tomorrow, so you'll get those spots out a couple more times. We're going to switch up now, and we're inviting you. I know that you've been traveling a lot, and I would imagine you're kind of tired, but we'd like to have you if you would want to stay with us for a while and co-host the program with us tonight. We're going to go to a quick radio clip here, and we're going to be talking about Agenda 2030. That's what I'm trying to think. This is going to be a short clip because these are things that are happening, and the whole world, and of course, the whole center of all of this is Israel. It's all kind of centered around the nation of Israel. But so, go ahead, Mighty Andrew, would you play that clip from the Agenda 2030?
This is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations. It's called the Agenda for the 21st Century. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. It is the inventory and control plan. Inventory and control of all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all food, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. And this is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations back in 1992. It's a United Nations plan. It's called the Agenda for the 21st Century. And so many of us around the world think that, sustainable development, it just sounds so great. Isn't it about recycling and creative reuse and creating energy and food resources for everyone? And the answer is no, it really is not. It's about moving populations into city centers, concentrated city centers, and clearing them out of the rural areas. All systems have to be brought into harmony in order to control them all. Because when systems don't meet, when they're out of balance or not in sync with one another, they can't be controlled centrally. And the goal of Agenda 21 is one world government and total control from a central unit. Every nation that signed on to Agenda 21 has its local Agenda 21 plan. People in the United States are completely unaware of this. If I go out and talk about this, the United States press will attack me and calls me, which is totally ridiculous. It is a, but it's not a theory. It's a fact. The three pillars of United Nations Agenda 21 are economy, ecology, and equity, the three E's. And everyone sort of thinks that they know what that means, the idea of social equity. It must mean that, well, everyone's going to have access to clean water and clean air, and no one's property is going to be used as a dumping ground because they are at a poverty level. But really what social equity is about impoverishing huge portions of the population and bringing down the developed nations. Everything that we're looking at now is destined to collapse our economies. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. And what major corporations want in this development is to be able to have full movement of workers without borders or boundaries, to be able to move their goods through without regulations, and to reduce wages. And so this is the goal. So this is what you find with social equity. And, of course, economy and ecology is about, these are the three circles, economy, ecology, and social equity. And where they meet in the center is balance. But really that balance is a communitarian balance. So it's not balance of well-being of the people. What it is it's a balance for corporations so that they can exploit and control and have populations in an area, in tightly packed, dense areas, so that they can be surveilled and managed. And this is what that balance looks like as far as the development of a totalitarian state is. The mainstream media is owned by five major corporations, and you're not going to get this information from the mainstream press. So you need to be your own press. You need to educate yourself. You need to get out there and educate your neighbors, your community, your real community. You need to help your children understand that they're being indoctrinated from pre-kindergarten to postgraduate school. All of us have a responsibility to ourselves and to others. This is true community, to work for personal freedom. And always remember that even though we work as a group, if we do work as a group, we're all individuals in those groups. And we answer only to ourselves. And this is essential. It's essential as free human beings. This is what we are. We are free, and we need to continue to be free. And I do believe that we will win, but we have to become aware that there is a fight, and then make our friends and our neighbors and our community aware as well, and work together.
All right, when they blocked her out, those few words there, those weren't curse words. There are words now like the woke or conspirator or deep state. These words that are automatically blocked out by big tech, and so I mean, and it's happening a lot. You know, like this radio program right now. It could be picked up. Of course, it goes out over the internet, and some of our words will be automatically anywhere big tech can do it. They will try to censor us, and that's these are the days we're living in here. So,
just the other day, the progressives had a list that they wanted Biden to do on executive order to combat the climate crisis, which racial justice that they're fighting for. They're using this as the, you know, impetus, but it's talking about they want 8 points, lower health care costs, cancel the federal student loan debt. Now, wait a minute, what does that to do with global warming crisis, you know, climate crisis, expanding worker power, advancing immigrants' rights, delivering on the promise of equal justice under law. Oh, here we are, combating the climate crisis by reducing fossil fuel dependence, investing in health and care economy jobs, and regulating for the economy and tax fairness. Economic.
Hey, Al, you gotta settle down because it's coming out over the air. Can you hear me, Al?
Settle down. I'm just sitting here quietly.
Well, there's a bunch of noise coming out. In the, it's like papers moving, rattling. It's got to be. Yeah, you got to, because it's being picked up and it's very sensitive. So anyhow, go ahead and finish what you were saying there, Joe.
So just showing that they're talking about this Agenda 31. They used to have Agenda 21 before that. They had other words. It's been the same program for years. It goes back to way back, I remember, in the 60s and 70s, they were expecting that there was going to be another ice age, and the government had to take control, start getting more and more control to save us from the ice age. Well, then that didn't come. So, we're going to have global warming, where the government's got to take control of the economy and this and that to save us from global warming. Oops, well, now it's climate change. See, it's the same story, different words, different meanings, and now it has to do with student loan debt, health care costs, worker power, immigration rights. These have nothing to do with the environment, with, you know, climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. All it is the socialist agenda to make...
It's about control. It's about control. Government. It's also about depopulation. Joe, one of the things here, like in Ohio, the Agenda 21, they call it NOAKA.
The
name NOAKA, that's the name. And basically, what they do is they find ways of... These are not elected officials. These are bureaucrats. They're like in the shadow, very shadowy creatures. And what they do is, in other words, like with your highway, your money that is paid out in taxes for highways, to constructions on highways... They manage to get a lot of that. They divert that off the highways and bridges over to bike paths, you know, where you have bike paths to get people on bicycles and keep them off the highway. The other things they do, and I don't know how it works there where you're at in Texas, Al, or you, Joe, out in Missouri, but what they want to do is they want to bring more and more people out of the countryside and move them into the cities, and there will be if you could have a farm, say, for example, and on that farm have some places where there's some wetland, a little wetland. Well, they'll come out and they'll find all kinds of violations, and they'll tell you that, well, you know, we can't, you know, you could never afford to correct all these violations on your land here, but we can do that for you, but there's some conditions involved. You'll have to agree that if you should die or move, you would, instead of selling this to, if you have your, you can sell it to your family member or son or whatever, but other than that, you have to agree to sell your property to the parkland, okay? And while you're living here on this property, we'll help you out, but if you want to plant crops, you'll have to get those crops approved by us. We will tell you what you can plant and what you can't. And if you want to dig a pond, well, you have to get that approved, and we'll tell you if you can or what you can't. So basically, we'll tell you what you can do with your property. This is the political correct people. The other thing, again, I was, going all the way back. Again, we've said in their meetings, they're all a part of the same thing, the depopulation program, and they're all the same people, the Agenda 2030, now they're calling it. And what they want to do, again, they want to increase the boundaries, the limits of your major cities out 10 miles out, all the way around. They want to build apartment buildings 33 stories high. They want to move everybody into the cities, everybody where they can control them. and those apartments, those huge apartment complexes, they want to have on the first two floors all of your government offices and your shopping malls and all of that. The rest, they want to put you people, you know, put us in apartments and that. And then as far as transportation, you won't be driving cars. You will have to get permission to visit the countryside. This is all, you know, they haven't tried to hide any of this. This is they're planning.
The core's earth and the balance explained they wanted a population density equal to that of Manhattan. And they didn't want the private property rights. And you were saying, how is it out here in Missouri? We found this out long ago, way back in the late 80s, and people rose up and, like where I live, if I want to build a barn on my property, I can go build a barn. If I want to dig a pond, I dig a pond. If I want to build a house, I build a house. I don't have to ask anybody for anything. And that's the way we like it out here. And the environmentalists know better to come to some of these places. They can get hurt.
Yeah.
They're not welcome, period.
It's still pretty much that way where I'm at, too, but not as you get into the city areas.
The closer you get to rural areas, the more of this you run into. But you're absolutely right. You see, people that live out in the country are independent. They're used to taking care of themselves. I have my own well. I don't have to have government water. I can raise my own food. I don't have to depend. I'm very independent. Anybody that lives out in the country, and the government does not like people who are independent, who are not dependent upon them. And this has been an ongoing battle, and they've tried to, you can donate your land, and there's all kinds of things you can do, but grassroots people have stood up against this environmental movement and told the truth, especially out in the rural areas. The deception is basically still in your populated areas where you've got your liberal government.
All right, where you're at out there in Texas, how close are you to the major cities, Al?
I live in Fort Worth.
Oh, okay. Well, you're pretty close. Okay. How is that as far as where it goes to regulations and zoning? Is it pretty tough, tight, or?
No, we don't have, Texas is pretty independent. Texas not inclined to go along with these sort of controls. So I just not seen anywhere that we're finding these things. We do see people relocating, and they're coming from New York, they're coming from New Jersey, they're coming from California, ostensibly because their governments have destroyed their way of lives, and Texas has jobs. And so they come down here, and so you'll see the typical sentiment is, don't California my Texas. Don't New York my Texas, because they'll come down here with and bring their politics with them. And there's been the hope that they'll turn Texas to that liberal mindset, but Texas is pretty independent.
They need to turn from their wicked ways, right?
Exactly.
You're from Texas, become a Texan. Don't expect us to become a New Yorker.
Amen. Yeah.
And so it's all of those very same overregulation, all of the blue states have, that are driving people out of there. But you're right. It seems like they're not smart enough to understand that if you bring that with you, then you're not really getting away from it. It's
and then where are you going to go from here?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you bring those ideals with you and you create a New York or California mindset in Texas, as far as government is concerned, and it destroys your way of life here, then where do you go?
Well, here in Ohio, we have a lot of that. Well, it's communist mindset, but we also have a very, very strong Tea Party movement in Ohio. The Tea Party is very strong. So the conservative movement here in Ohio is stronger. Now, our problem is, you know, is not so much with the communists. I call them the Democratic Communist Collective. But our bigger problem is rhinos in our government, those so-called Republicans that will just stab you in the back. You know, they'll present themselves as one thing. They'll come out, and the same thing with those in Congress. And in other words, you'll get out, they'll tell you this, and you go out and you'll work for them, you get them elected, you send them to D.C., and then they betray you. And I can tell you that's one thing here the people in Ohio are really fed up with being betrayed by these rhinos. And so I would imagine it's the same way out there where you're at in Texas.
Right. So. It's bad enough that you've got a guy like Beto O'Rourke that keeps trying to get elected. And put the name side by side. Beto is a Hispanic name. O'Rourke, this guy's not Hispanic. But he claims that so that he can get the sympathetic vote from the Hispanics. And he's been able to raise a lot of money, but thankfully money didn't buy him a seat in the Senate. Now he's wanting to run for governor. And so we fight that on one side, and then you see the rhinos you're talking about. Like 23 of them voted for part of this package that you're talking about to be passed. If these rhinos had held firm, then part of this would never have been passed. But they did it in two stages, and the first stage passed because you had 23 rhinos. And their excuse was, well, we figured we'd catch them off guard and give them what they wanted this time and then nail them on the next one, and that's just a foolhardy. All that did was cause him to double down. But, you know, there's campaigns to get rid of these rhinos and primary them, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that. Well, we did see that here in Ohio. We had several of them that we did get rid of. One of the problems that we also have here is we have some good candidates running, but in the primary, and that are running against the rhino in the primary, and instead of what they're going to do, as far as they're going to split the vote, they're going to split the vote and give the primary election to the rhinos, and so what they need to do is say, look, you know, one of us has to step down, and so that all of the people can get behind the other one, and take the rhino out in the primary. That's what we're trying to convince some of these people to do here in Ohio. But let me ask you this. Here with this Ketanji Brown Jackson, have you been following, anyone been following? I've been following this. And, well, you know, mostly what she got was softballs, but she got, there was like Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, and that Kennedy, some of them kind of went after her and little, I just had mentioned her early, the woman, senator who asked her about Marsha Blackburn. That's what I was thinking of, yeah. Anyhow, so, you know, some of the, this woman has got a horrible, horrible record. but what do you think? Because I can tell you, I expect Lindsey Graham to do it again. They always give in, these rhinos. They always give in, and, you know, just, and I truly expect him to go ahead and endorse her. They could stop. This is a very wicked woman. She's a very, very wicked woman. She was sentencing hardcore criminals, especially pornographers and pedophiles, way below the limits that they were allowed to do that. In other words, she was virtually violating the law and sentencing these people where you had a minimum of 4 years for some of the child pornography in that. She was giving them 3 months and putting
now
these people...
this is the Supreme Court now.
Yeah. Yeah, Ketanji Brown Jackson, yeah.
I wouldn't sell Lindsey Graham short at this point. He has, in the last couple of years, stood very firm where the Supreme Court nominees were concerned. And he's been very strong in his position. And leaning very, very, very conservative. So I don't know.
Well, that's because
in the past, but
yeah, well, the past is this. The past, Al, he voted for all three of the Democratic, all three of these, the two females and, well, no, the two females I know he voted for, in the past, which were very, very liberal.
Right.
And so,
in the past, something's happened to him in the last 2 years. And he's come out, he's swung far to the right in this concern. So I'm not sure that I'd be willing to count him out at this point.
Well, you've got a lot more faith in him than I do. I don't have...
Well, but he's been very vocal and had taken a lot of hard flack for standing firm with the last three nominees.
Yeah, well, those three were conservatives. They were all three conservatives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for his, which, according to the past, he wouldn't have been that firm standing with them.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had a comment. You said, you know, what I see, I've been paying a little bit of attention. This lady, I'll call her a lady, she is dodging. She is avoiding questions. What they try to do is they try to pin her down on what her philosophy is, and she says, oh, I don't have a judicial philosophy. Well, right there, she's lying. She's been a judge over a decade, been an attorney longer, spent 7 years at Harvard, and she says she has no judicial philosophy. Well, there's only really two philosophies. There's either the Constitution as the founding document that's based on the rule of law, laws that do not change, or it's this living, breathing thing the liberals say that depends on the whim of the people, what they want can be changed. There's only really two philosophies. So for somebody who's been a judge for 12 years to say, I don't have a philosophy, come on. you, one or two sides. You're either a constitutionalist or it's a
little... A judicial activist is what she is.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's okay. What I was thinking.
They ask these questions, and they're trying to get her philosophy, and she talks about the philosophy. Yes, I understand all this, but when they ask her, does she believe it, will she judge that way, she dodges and she pivots and talks about the methodology. What she's doing, the whole point of the hearing is how are you going to read on the issues of law, and she's not answering their questions. And it's inconceivable to me that she doesn't have the answers. She's playing a game, and she's trying to get approved without anybody knowing what her real philosophy is as a judge.
Well, I know what her real philosophy is. She's
not telling the truth.
Well, Joe, she made it pretty clear when she was promoting, when she said, we actually, from the bench, used critical race theory. And then she reversed that, okay, talking about to some of the, and sentencing and some of the organizations that she works with promoting critical race theory. And then she turns right around and denies that. And then...
Right.
It's like
lying, isn't it? Deception, lying.
Yeah.
To me, I already know what she is, so she's already not worthy to be on the federal bench.
No, she's not. But you're going to see. Well, one of the questions was it was an interesting thing because one of the liberals before had asked about Supreme Court justices being bought by dark money. From the right, they referred it. Well, and the fact of it is, she was asked one of the questions about...
2 minutes.
What do you think about justices being bought? And, of course, she played with that. The other one was about packing the court. Yeah,
people
packing
won't
the...
that.
And no.
It's been noncommittal.
Right. And so
and that's not an issue that in a court case where that's something she can't answer. She makes it sound like she can't answer that. That's wrong.
Right. And she doesn't agree that there was any as far as buying the justices, which, you know, we know better, don't we? And so.
Yeah. And that critical race theory, she sits on a school board that teaches it. I've seen the stuff that they handed out to the teachers and their. What they're teaching the students, and she claims she has no knowledge of it. So, I mean, she's either dumb as a rock or deceptive.
Well, all right.
She thinks we're as dumb as rocks.
Yeah, that could be, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, well, I can tell you who really thinks we're as dumb as rocks, and that's what they call the mainstream media.
Right.
You know, in here, these people have lost all credibility. I mean, there's no credibility left to them. They're owned by five major corporations, and basically they are contracted liars. They're contracted to lie. They don't call it a lie. They call it the narrative, and they agree in contract to whatever the narrative or the lie is, that's the direction they'll go. So hold tight. We're coming up to a hard break. We'll come back. We got a whole lot more to cover here, so. We will be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. Be right back.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.